Studios.
Good to be here, Rich. Now, I know the people are listening to radio, but we have talked to each other over the lines before, and I never knew. Do you always do this show standing up?
Well, I do. Normally, Carrie would be here running all the controls because I'm relatively incompetent when it comes to that. But because he was with you folks this afternoon, I'm over here and I feel more of a sense of control. I'm up, knees slightly bent, balls in my feet, ready for action.
I mean, it's like watching someone getting ready for a professional football game. It's exciting. I wonder, should I stand up too?
Well, you're very tall, so I don't know if the mic will reach. You're welcome to try.
Well, maybe I'll just slouch more.
You can do that. And you can adjust that microphone.
There we go.
You brought your lovely wife, Ann, with you as well. We appreciate that.
She's right over here, but she's not on mic. No, she's shaking her head no, like I'm not going to talk on that thing.
You had a nice flight. You told you spent more time at the airport than you did in the air.
Well, actually, on the tarmac. Spent more time on the tarmac than in the airport, and more time in both than in the air. But boy, flying into Maine, it is so beautiful. But we missed autumn. What happened? We came in and it looked like
it was on a Tuesday. We had a really big gust of wind, and there went all those beautiful colors.
It looked like the forest where the flying monkeys in Wizard of Oz come from. Now it was like there were none of the beautiful leaves. I was hoping to see that, but I did see all the beautiful water in the air.
Oh, yes,
gorgeous.
We're now in what we call our gray phase, waiting for the inevitable.
You know, I have several friends who live here in Maine during certain parts of the year, but not this part of the year. They've gone to California.
Fine plan on their part.
Yes.
Some of us stuck right here. Last night you had a show in Brooklyn. How did that go?
It went very well. Oh, and you know, strange things always happen at the show. So I see people from my past who show up, and at this show last night came Sharon Ulrich, who was a friend of mine from Los Angeles. But what I didn't remember while I was talking to her, she is in my book. She is actually in my book. And I'm talking to her. I thought, oh my gosh, I never got her permission to use her in the book. And I told her that it was too late to sue me. Can't do it now.
Yeah, well, we're talking, of course, about My Adventures with God. Wonderful book. The third book Stephen has written. Tonight you'll be doing stories from the book and from your long and very interesting career. Every week, I feel like we uncover more nuggets about your incredible number of appearances through the years.
Well, I realize when you do acting, one of the kind of exciting elements of acting is that you are trying to create reality. And so when anything goes wrong, reality is not created. And so something terrible happens. And those things are often pretty amusing when you're there. I was doing one show, and they had one of the fellows who was a linebacker for the Chicago Bears, who was stunt casted to play a businessman. And also in a later scene, he was supposed to play the Marlboro man. And what they do is, when you have to do a fast change, they do what they call underdress. So they put one costume under the the first costume is on top, the second costume is underneath. And so he was wearing the Marlboro Man costume underneath with the chaps and the vest and the bandana. And over it, he was wearing a businessman suit. Well, this guy was a professional athlete. And while we were doing scene one, he began to sweat. And he began to sweat a lot. And I started seeing his eyes kind of going crazy. And suddenly he stands up in the middle of the scene and says, I can't take it anymore! And he starts ripping his clothes off. And the audience laughed for the first time in the scene because they thought this was really funny. And he starts ripping his clothes off, and underneath is a cowboy outfit. And the audience is roaring. He says, if you happen to notice, I'm a big man. I happen to sweat a lot. The audience is roaring. He pulls it off. Then he starts taking off his cowboy outfit, and he's down to his underwear, but he can't get his cowboy outfit off because he has his chaps on. So he's dragging his pants around the stage, and the audience is thinking, this is the greatest show we've ever seen. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, we are all going to get fired. We have about 10 minutes before our careers on in this show is done. And we were. That was it. You can't walk that one back.
We've talked with you about this before, and the stage, you've written about it as a holy place.
Yes.
And so many elements of the stage. And it's different when you're making movies and television shows. But do you still find aspects of that, whether it's in working with the cast or the crew, where you're able to find that special place that means so much to you?
In TV or film?
Yes.
In TV or film, it certainly is the cast and crew. And it's an odd... I mean, you bring this example up, and we did not discuss this before, but actually I'm involved with the show one day at a time now. Norman Lear's rebooting of his original series, which is wonderful.
It's brilliant.
It's a brilliant show, and we do that on Stage 25 at Sony. Well, when we were down, I shot a scene from Silicon Valley, Jack Barker's big scene in front of the convention on Stage 25 in Sony. They had ripped out all the one day at a time stuff, put up the stage, put in all the extras, and I did the Jack Barker thing. And there was absolutely nothing. I felt absolutely nothing about Stage 25. However, when One Day at a Time started again, and I was going to do a scene with Rita Moreno, and I'm walking down the stairs, and I see Rita on the set, and she's starting to warm up and do stretches because she's really an athlete. I mean, a great dancer from way back. And so she's starting to do these stretches. And all of a sudden, I felt that shock of the holy. And I thought, the years of talent and brilliance that she's brought to all of us from West Side Story through the decades. I mean, she's the only person who won a Grammy, a Tony, an Emmy, and what's the other one?
Oscar.
Oscar. Oh, I thought I said that one first. No. She won. But here she was, just like someone who was starting out in acting, warming up before we were to rehearse, and I felt that burst of the holy. And so it is the interpersonal thing when you do film and television rather than the place.
She's incredible. And then I see interviews with Norman Lear, who is 94. Is there a portrait somewhere in his house that's aging? Because he doesn't seem to be at all.
He's amazing. And he says he has two secrets to his longevity. He drinks lots of coffee. I try it. I just drive fast and get nervous. And he also says every morning he dances naked in front of the mirror and celebrates this day of life. Now, I don't know about dancing naked in front of the mirror. I'm going to motel as it is now. So there's plenty of that accidentally. But the idea of making every day a celebration, I think, is the key to longevity.
Well, that's great advice. Stephen Tobolowsky here in studio with us tonight over at the Brewer Performing Arts Center. Tickets are still available at the door. We'll open the doors at 6:45. $30 not only gets you in to see Stephen, but gets you a copy of his wonderful book, My Adventures with God. Hey, that's the best bargain around.
That's the best bargain around, because last night in Brooklyn, I don't get any money for the book. The money goes to Simon & Schuster, and that's good for them. But the... Last night, they were charging $25 for the book, and so it's $5 to see me? Oh, my goodness.
Well, we prefer to think of it, Stephen, as $30 to see you, and then the book is free.
That's the way, but that money doesn't go to me either, right? Because that money is going to...
Congregation Bethel of
it's
Bangor.
It's going to a synagogue here, which is very good, because, you know, in Judaism, we do a lot of mitzvahs. And we do a lot of outreach with the poor and the homeless and the indigent. And so that's always a good investment. So that's great. I'm glad to be a part of that.
Well, we're so excited to have you here. Now, we've been playing a little game the last week or so. You helped us out with 6 degrees of Tobolowsky. We're not going to make you name roles that you've been in, although we did that with Bryan Cranston a couple of weeks ago. He was good. He remembered long-forgotten television appearances with us, but we have a lot of actors. We love talking to performers and people from the arts on the program, and we realized you've worked with a lot of our other guests. You've worked with Bryan Cranston before.
I have played golf with Bryan Cranston before he was really Bryan Cranston. I mean, when we were both unemployed and couldn't get employed, couldn't get an audition, we would play golf together every day, cursing at our 3 irons and why they never went straight. And Brian talking about what he wanted to do. And he was talking about doing serious roles. And of course, the next thing he did was Malcolm in the Middle, where he's the funniest guy in the world. And then Trumbo, which he was wonderful in. You know, Brian is... And he ended up directing me.
That's right.
He ended up directing me in Big Day, and he told me, I don't know if he told you this story. He told me a Bryan Cranston story. Can I tell Bryan Cranston story?
Yeah, please do.
So he said when he was on Malcolm in the Middle, and he said, Stephen, here's some advice for you. I can't do a really Bryan imitation. Here's some advice for you. Like when they gave me a task to do on the show, like taking out the garbage and Malcolm in the Middle or mowing the lawn, I would hum a song that I made up, like da 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 da. And I would just hum that song, taking out the trash, and then I registered the song as a professional composition with ASCAP. And then every time they repeat the show, I get royalties for the Bryan Cranston taking out the trash song.
He wrote about that in his book.
Oh, no.
And the fact that that was a huge cash cow for him. That's brilliant.
What a dog.
Absolutely. Now, tomorrow, John O'Hurley is on the show. Now, you did a very memorable episode of Seinfeld. Did you work together on that at all?
John and I have worked together on a whole new ball game with Corbin Burnson. We did that a lot together. And John and I did a movie, Christian Mingle, together.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And, yes. And John is one of the most surprising people in the world, besides being really constantly funny all the time. Whenever I'm with John, I'm always laughing. But the guy is a connoisseur about everything. I mean, he would take right now, the people at home don't realize that this studio is filled with alcohol. I'm looking here at this bottle of wine at the end of the table that looks like you guys have already started this. But John O'Hurley, he would look at this bottle and go, well, you know, that's a that appears to be a 78, not a very good year, guys. I think it would be better if it were a 74. 73 is hard to get, but it's very good. And he'll take a, oh, that's a Schlitz beer? That appears to be the Schlitz that's brewed in Louisville, Kentucky. Not very good. The best Schlitz is brewed, of course, in Milwaukee. And you know, John is an expert on just about everything. Gym equipment. He'll be an expert on these microphones.
Wow.
Rich, you're using these microphones? I don't
And the last one, a guy we had on this summer has been on a few times with us and wrote a wonderful book of his own, Curtis Armstrong.
Curtis Armstrong. Isn't he the famous, was he?
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds.
But he was on Moonlighting and in Risky Business.
Did I work with him?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think
so. It's hard to believe there's anybody you haven't
worked with. No, I know. I don't think I worked with him. But, you know, we're still alive.
Well, yeah.
There's always a chance.
And so here you are with four series on the air right now, plus animated shows. Is this professionally the best time of your life?
It is the time of my life. It is very good. But I have to talk about the yin and yang of a career. You know, everyone says it's feast and famine, but I think it's more mysterious than that. Because somehow, as soon as my son got admitted into medical school, I got these jobs.
Ah.
So I think somebody up there was saying, Stephen, you're going to have to pay some bills soon.
Wow. For a moment there, God sounded a lot like John O'Hurley.
And he does.
And like, I would, you know, I would expect he would. That would be perfect.
I think he does, yeah.
So you'll be telling stories tonight from the book and stories from your career. And you told Carrie that at least one of these is a story you haven't done for a while, maybe since New Zealand.
It is a story that is one of my favorite stories of all time that I have not done for a long time since I was, I think I did it for a crowd in New Zealand and one in San Francisco several years ago. But it's one of those stories that sometimes makes me laugh real hard and sometimes makes me cry. I don't know. But it is one of my all-time favorite stories. And I thought, perfect place to do it here is in Bangor. Perfect place.
Now, we did tell you in advance it was going to be, I think I used the word crisp, cool, perhaps. was that an accurate description?
It's very accurate. But, you know, I was telling Carrie that
It's a dry cold.
It is the same cold. Now, you won't believe this here in Maine, but I grew up in Oak Cliff outside of Dallas in Texas. And tonight it smells exactly like the winter nights I would have in Oak Cliff. The same, whatever it is. Now, you say it's dry?
Yeah. Today's a nice dry cold.
Dry cold. So this cold is that if you go outside and close your eyes, that is what it was like for Stephen Tobolowsky in his boyhood in the winter in Oak Cliff.
As part of the Dangerous Animals Club.
As part of the Dangerous Animals Club. Absolutely.
Which is also a wonderful read. I'm going to tell you, it's not just because he's here. Get all of Stephen's books because they're absolutely wonderful. Listen to the podcast, which has become our absolute favorite as well. You're just a delight. We love having you on the show and so excited to have you and Ann here in town with us.
I am thrilled to be here. Can't wait for tonight.
7:30, the Brewer Performing Arts Center on Pendleton Street. Now, Stephen also sneaking over to the Gracie Theater, doing double or triple duty here today, taping Danny Cashman's night show.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Okay. I will have my people get in touch with his people. No, I'm kidding. I knew all about this.
He's in a panic right now. I would
never tell my people I was doing the Dan Cashman show.
See, that's the mark of someone who's been in the business
for a while.
Stephen, thank you so much. We'll see you across the river.
Thank you, Rich.
Stephen Tobolowsky here in studio with us. It is 21 after 5 o'clock on Downtown. Alan Adams coming aboard in just a couple of minutes. Tomorrow on the